What is going on, everyone? I'm Mike.
I'm
And
Bash.
welcome to House of Pod.
Where we go to a movie, I buy a beer beforehand, they end up canceling the movie because it's not in the play or whatever that means, and then they reschedule the movie. So
Yeah.
I drove home with it. I'm going to continue to drink while casting.
Yeah, so we were going to go see Bloodshot. We're sitting in the theater for a bit, and like they said, they didn't have it loaded in, which, I mean, in my mind, I'm like, how long does it take you to put it? Like a
Apparently 52
DVD.
minutes.
Yeah. So we're recording the first half of this now. We're going to go see the movie later on and then record the second half later. So we get some like fresh takes on the Vin Diesel. That's it, the Vin Diesel. Yeah.
And I'm about 16 ounces into this 32-ounce anti-hero. We'll
That
see
is
how
a
it goes.
large drink, and they really shouldn't give you like a lid with and a straw with
They didn't give me a
it.
straw, just a lid.
Okay. You
But I
should
still consider that a to-go drink.
have got it a bendy straw. That would have been perfect.
I have some, but I don't like to use them.
Yeah, that's true. So let's go ahead. There's a few sort of thing big things we're gonna jump into, and
Mainly that we've seen Milena and Taskmaster now in the same shot, proving she cannot be Taskmaster.
yes, I know we
Now,
were.
Yelena, I don't know about her. She seems kind of shifty.
Well, I thought they fought at one point in like a different shot, but yeah, that was the big rumor was she was the Taskmaster. But in that last trailer they released earlier this week, where they show him basically doing like moves of the Avengers, like yeah,
Yes.
you see a brief moment of her, she's flying the plane, and then like he falls on top of it or something like that. I think that was a shot.
Something like that. He gets smashed through the windshield with a shield.
Yeah. So, there goes that. Which is fine. I feel like that's just a twist for twist's sake, you know? You don't really need that in the story. Taskmaster is a good enough hero, like villain on his own.
Hey, yo, I'm Tony Mastis from the Bronx.
Yeah, exactly. But moving on from that, there was a small speculation piece I wanted to talk to you about really quick. So we talked about last week or the week before, Dan Didio. He was the publisher up at DC. He was let go by Warner, and subsequently their like new co-parent company, AT&T. There was a lot of people wondering why that was that. You know, there was rumor that like they weren't happy because he was the new story arc they were gonna do is 5G, which was like fifth generation, where you'd have like descendants of people in the DC universe take over the mantle of the characters. So like the only one I can think of at the top of my head was Lucius Fox's grandson was Batman in this, where it's like years down the line he takes up the mantle, which sounds cool, but everyone says that because the Batman is coming out, and if they go with this line, you have people who read watch the Batman movie and then go see where Batman's at in the comic book, and it's a completely different person. So like they didn't like that. But the big kind of like this is, I mean, if there is a grain of salt that was grainier than most grains of salt, make sure that that grain of salt is being taken with this.
Indeed.
That makes sense. What has been around the rumor mill is AT&T is sticking with the 5G story arc that they're going with. I believe they already put in a new publisher like in place of them, but the one big thing though is what the I guess the rumor is when if the comic series itself doesn't sell up to AT&T standards, there's a possibility that they would just cut their losses and dismantle DC Comics, like basically sell off the company, which would be awful.
A little bit, yeah.
Just terrible. Like I said, this is that's I think that's like this might be like last ditch effort kind of thing, or like the last, you know, if it even happens. But a lot of it is when you look at Disney with Marvel, like comic sales aren't good. That's just the medium itself is dying. It's very niche. So when you like at Marvel though, they make up for their loss with the movies, because it's like
Yeah, they do.
yeah. So essentially, like their comics are pumping out the stories, and then the money is made making those stories on film. DC and Warner Brothers don't have that same luxury currently.
Well,
So,
stop making movies that suck.
yeah, you'd think that'd be it, but for some reason, they just can't figure that out. So, yeah, I mean,
We're available for hire.
Yeah, right.
We will tell you straight to your face if your movie sucks.
So, I mean, this probably won't, if it does happen, wouldn't be for a while, because I mean, 3G or 5G hasn't come out yet, and you still got to give that story time to run. But I hope that's just the internet being the internet, you know.
Maybe turn them into e-comics or something.
Even then,
they're still comics, but only available on a website.
But that's
for a monthly subscription of $5.99.
Marvel does that already. They have Marvel Unlimited or something like that.
Damn, $1 million idea taken already.
Well, it's their company. We can't make money off that idea. Like, how about you take your properties and then put them online? Give us money.
I like it. Sounds good to me.
I just wanted to get that out of the way because I've read that and was super. What the fuck? So hopefully that's not the case, and AT&T will realize that would just be really dumb. Like, all you need to do is go to the Disney route. You have, arguably...
I mean, they're not using the comic continuity storylines to make good movies anyway.
No, but that's what I mean. That's what you gotta do. And arguably...
This is heavily drawn from The Dark Knight Returns.
Granted,
everything is drawn from The Dark Knight Returns.
Granted, Marvel has a larger category of popular superheroes. I feel the Trinity are more popular in general, than most of the, if you were like Spider-Man and Batman. At least from what I see, I feel like Batman is a more recognizable person, I guess. Marvel has basically that, and I guess now Iron Man are the two people that they can associate that with, where DC's always had their Trinity. So that's all you really need to do is just make a good movie out of those, and then you can spawn off with everything else.
And they can't seem to do it.
Yeah, because that's why Birds of Prey really hasn't been doing, or didn't do well, because they don't have that Marvel, trust. Like when everyone, Guardians was a hit, despite the fact that nobody bought Guardians of the Galaxy comics since its inception back in the 70s. It was super obscure, but they had enough hits in their back pocket for them to be okay, here's something you'll never heard of before, but you'll like it. DC can't really do that.
Yeah. It's oh, here's another subpar movie. Please watch it.
Yeah, exactly. So...
Or maybe they're just trying to Joker. Everyone knows that name. Let's make a movie that's related to him but doesn't actually have him.
But it's Batman and Wonder Woman have made money. I can't believe they haven't been able to make a good Superman movie outside of the Christopher Reeve ones.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. Honestly, if you took the look of Henry Cavill and then put the personality of Christopher Reeves, that would make a good Superman character.
Yeah.
Because the comics or the DC Cinematic Universe. I don't think they have an actual name for it.
DCU?
Sure. But yeah, their Superman DCU. Is too much like Batman. Broody. Parental issues.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Too much like the Bat. Not a big fan.
Well, yeah, but back in the day, all heroes that started were just, I'm a hero because it's the right thing to do. And that's just kind of what he is. I guess now that he's probably the only one that does that, so can still pull it off.
Well, no, because Captain America is the best example. His character never really had, Iron Man had a story arc. He started out being a very selfish person, and then at the end of the movie, he was very selfish and self-sacrificing for everyone. Captain America was the amoral center of the Avengers, and that did not change throughout the entire thing.
And he was America's ass.
Yeah, and he pulled it off great. You can easily do that with Superman.
Door squats.
Yeah, just don't let his dad be no, just let those kids on the bus die. You shouldn't be a hero. People will make fun of you.
Yeah, that was a little...
what the fuck?
No, don't save me, despite the fact you can do it without anyone seeing you do it. Yeah. You only need to free my leg, and then I can run to you under the bridge, which is not actually a safe place to go for a tornado.
Yeah, exactly. So.
The tornado speeds actually speed up under there, but whatever.
But I digress.
Same.
Yeah. Well, if anything else comes out from that, we'll definitely... Well, we're going to keep our ear to the ground and see what happens with that, but I'm hoping that's not the case. Because, they can still make the movies because they'll still technically own the property, but like just the actual comic aspect will be not there.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, like I said, that doesn't happen. What we should talk about are less about very slight grains of salt and switch over to, yeah, WrestleMania is probably getting canceled.
They haven't determined it yet.
So if you haven't been reading the news, there's a flu going around that is literally, it's currently, here's my thing. They had a meeting earlier today. They talked about how they want to wait another if we just jump straight into this, like there's rumor that WrestleMania will be canceled this year because of the whole coronavirus thing. In Tampa earlier, they had their meeting, like a press conference to talk about it. And they said that because it's far off, that was like a big topic because that's one of the really big, like gatherings that's going to be happening somewhat soon, like in that state. They said that it's too early to call it, basically. So next week they're going to be doing essentially another press conference, like a re-up and see where everything is at and then going from there.
Yeah, that's got to be a huge draw for the Tampa area with all the hotels and all the like money that's being spent just being directed at WrestleMania. I wouldn't imagine they'd want to cancel it.
No, not at all. And like I think we were saying, like if this was all about Vince, if this was his decision, we wouldn't be having this conversation because, of course, WrestleMania would still go on.
Oh, no. Vince would have a $50 plus per person charge for extra sanitary measures, and he would, you know, put like a bottle of Purell
You got to sign like an NDA just in case you end up like catching it from somebody or something like that. Mm-hmm. But no, this is all in the state's hands. I think he has a say in it, but like when it comes down to it, it's not his decision. There were even talks about there's rumor that SmackDown was going to be canceled on Friday, but that they came out and said that that's not going to be the case. But
they said that they were setting up other options, with that being the Performance Center,
yeah,
which is where they had NXT at.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll get to that later.
But honestly, the way if you look at how like all the other like sports organizations are going, the NBA suspended their season, the NHL suspended their season, the MLB has like suspended their preseason, spring training. That's what it is, like the spring training stuff, and then pending what will happen in the future. But with how everything out, all the routes that are going, like if two of the biggest sports companies are like, yeah, we're just not going to do it, I don't see how WrestleMania will survive, to be honest. Like I don't see how they won't cancel it.
But they still may.
Wait, no. Did I say that wrong?
Probably.
Okay. The fact that the NBA and the NHL are not doing their season leads me to believe that WrestleMania will be canceled. Because if they're canceling an entire season as opposed to just like one thing, then...
Yeah, once it's over, they might do like a half season or something.
Maybe. I mean, I know college basketball has been doing... the NCAA is finishing out March Madness in empty stadiums. So they're just playing. Like, they'll be broadcasting it, but no one's allowed to go to it except the players.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And I guess it's not as bad as going to a comedy show without an audience.
I think it was, like, the Timberwolves, and I can't remember who they're facing. But, like, they were, like, this was a couple nights ago. They were on the court ready to go, and they canceled the game. Because one of the players on Utah, tested positive for coronavirus.
Oh, all right. Well.
Yeah. So, like... shit's weird. And like I said, the fact that it's all happening with all the bigger, like all these bigger companies, I don't see WrestleMania really making it through this.
But money!
I know, but money. But I don't think it's his decision.
But if it is, he's not canceling it. Whereas the owners of the other ones are canceling it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, still put it on.
Can you imagine? Like, that's like...
The virus has to make Roman look strong.
Taking away all of the traveling that people were going to be doing and the money that was spent on the tickets and stuff, like that whole weekend has wrestling stuff going on. So if WrestleMania doesn't happen, more than likely that whole weekend is going to get canceled, which is fucked up.
No attendance wrestling matches.
What is happening? People really just...
there's pipe and people chanting for Roman.
Just wash your hands. Make sure you wash your hands. Don't touch anything gross.
Don't touch your face, I say as I stroke my beard like a majestic wizard.
It's like the same thing with, if you don't want to get the flu, then you do these precautions. It's the same thing, you know?
So I should not lick hobos in the street.
No.
Ah, well.
But
old habits die hard.
Doorknobs are okay, though.
Nice.
Yeah. Preferably doorknobs in the city.
It seems legit.
Yeah, those big handle ones so you can get a good looking in. Bash, did you have any other any fun news or
Moving from DC over to Marvel. Oh. We already know that we have Sam Raimi directing Doctor Strange 2.
So excited.
But now they have the Amazing Spider-Man writer Roberto Orci.
The Amazing Spider-Man?
Yes, the Andrew Garfield one.
Not as much confidence anymore.
But they're talking to him to write a untitled Spider-Man movie for Sony, which, I mean, I guess it wasn't that horrible, but it also kind of leads me to believe that it might be a live-action multiverse, because they've been kind of speculating that that's going to go on for a while.
Oh, that's like the only thing they can do.
Nah. I mean, they could do a bunch of things.
Sony only has Spider-Man and all of the Spider-Man associates, so having a Spider-Man universe would probably be the best and only option they can do with having,
well, they've confirmed that this is a Sony characters. Movie.
Huh?
They've confirmed this is a Sony movie, so they could bring in Miles Morales.
Yeah, that's true.
Or just, you know, any other iteration. Ben Reilly
would be cool. I wouldn't mind seeing the Scarlet Spider.
What's the one I'm missing? Oh, Miguel O'Hara. They could bring him in.
I don't want to see like Madame Web.
Oh, guess what? We're getting a Madame Web movie.
I don't care about Madame Web.
Too bad.
That was like the most. I remember as a kid, like watching the Spider-Man story arc, and when that whole Madame Web and all that stuff happened, I'm like, what am I watching? Like, I am not enjoying this at all.
I liked her as a character. I think she was actually voiced by either the wife of the writer or Stan Lee's wife. I'm probably going to go with the wife of the writer on this, though.
That'd be cool if it was Stan Lee's wife, though.
Stan Lee also made a cameo in that. It was great.
Oh, yeah, that was the last episode.
Mm-hmm. Moving on, though, Tessa Thompson has actually confirmed that Christian Bale is going to be the number one bad guy in Thor Love and Thunder, which, you know, kind of expected.
Yeah, we figured.
Yeah.
Did they announce who it was going to be?
No.
Or who he's playing? Okay.
Not yet. I'm still banking on Gore the God Butcher.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet.
I mean, I guess they could do Silver Surfer, but I don't think they'll pull him out just yet. We also have, we don't have any spoilers yet, but Tom Holland, I guess, like, knows where Spider-Man's going between Sony and Marvel in every which way, so hopefully we'll have some spoilers soon. But the other spoiler guy, Mark Ruffalo, at a Comic-Con panel, he revealed he's got one movie left in his contract. He's going to appear in She-Hulk and one other. I want to say it's Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but I can't remember which one that was because I randomly left my notes somewhere. But I have beer, so it's fine. I'm going to keep drinking. It's probably the best course of action.
Yes.
He's also pitched a Hulk versus Wolverine movie, which, everyone would love to see.
At this point, you can do it now, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, a Hulk solo series, and then he also wanted to do a Hulk versus Banner thing where it's the Hulk trying to take over Banner, essentially. I assume it's like how he becomes Professor Hulk, because that's how it would fit into that story.
See, I was thinking they have the
or just random episodes throughout.
When they have there's a storyline. Was it Worldbreaker Hulk when Banner and Hulk split from each other?
Because
that's when, like.
Well, I think that's what Jean Grey did.
Did she do that to him? I don't remember. I know there was
I'm pretty sure it was Jean Grey or Scarlet Witch that was just like, okay, let's split you guys off.
Like, they need to do Worldbreaker Hulk. And if they were going to do that, would be perfect. Because that would be, like, you know, the constant infighting between them. And then when you separate it, Hulk is just nothing but unbridled rage. And then that's when you can have those, like, oh, when he walks forward, he almost sinks the hemisphere that he's on because he's so strong.
Which I wonder, a Hulk with the Red Lantern ring, who stops him?
No one. Absolutely no one.
Yeah, we're talking Franklin Richards Galactus status.
Yeah, you'd have
Century.
Yeah, you'd have to like warp reality.
Actually, I don't even know about Century.
No, Century is basically like Marvel's Superman, right?
I think he's got a couple more advanced powers, but yeah.
I think overall Hulk would win because he's nothing but rage. Like, he is the embodiment of it. So mm-hmm. when you're...
Oh, God. He would just drown people in blood, which I need to figure out why they spit blood.
I know there's a reason for it. I can't remember. Yes. One more bit of Marvel. There was a meeting at Disney. They're showing their shareholders at, like... stuff from the Falcon and Winter Soldier. They had a full-blown trailer that they played them. We didn't get that. But there was a teaser of basically, like, Bucky Barnes celebrating his 107th birthday. And it was on, like, a really shitty, like, camcorder. Because they were, in, like, in Italy, and there's a guy playing accordion. And,
nice.
Like, he's wearing gloves, because apparently, so, like, it doesn't freak people out that he has a metal arm. Mm-hmm. And
I can see that.
They just bring a little cake that said 107 on it. I'm like, that's funny as fuck.
So yeah, the 107 years old doesn't freak people out, but the metal arm for sure will, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, I don't age, but that's normal.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Don't look at my arm. Is that all the news?
That is all the news. All
right. So we have some wrestling things we're going to go over. First off, we should quickly run through Elimination Chamber. I am still your champion, although I will say it wasn't a crushing defeat like I was hoping. I won at champion's advantage. So it's a hollow victory, but it's a victory.
Because Daniel Bryan did not do the right thing and put over Drew Gulak.
No, he did after he beat him.
I know, but not – he should have put him over more.
Giving
him the shady pin.
Yeah, right. Let's just go ahead and start off with that. So we had Daniel Bryan did defeat Drew Gulak.
Pre-show.
Oh, yeah.
It still counts. We had the Viking Raiders versus Hawkins and Ryder.
And that's
everyone got the point on this.
Yep.
Viking Raiders won.
And now to the main show.
Yes, now moving on.
Daniel Bryan versus Drew Gulak. Honestly, I really like this match. There was a lot of mat wrestling at the beginning. A lot.
Yeah, and Gulak actually did seem to have, like, a lot of answers for what Daniel Bryan was doing.
I did like when he tried to do the little headstand thing. He just kind of, like, Gulak kind of, like, lifted his legs up and then gave him, like, a mini pile driver while he was trying to get out of that hold.
Snuck that one in there.
Yeah. But, there was an awful back suplex.
Yeah, it looked like he landed just directly on his neck and the back of his head.
When they slow-mo'd
it, you can actually see it's like, oh, yeah, his head is one of the first thing to hit. It's like left shoulder, head, right shoulder.
Yeah, it was really fucked up.
Yeah.
I was not a fan. At the end, the match ended with Daniel Bryan putting on the yes lock and Drew passing out because he's a hard ass.
But not tapping. He did not lose.
I know. Well, technically he lost because... He passed out, but he didn't lose his pride.
I should have had the championship. next up, we have Andrade versus Humberto Carrillo in his 3,000th U.S. title shot.
Yeah.
Andrade won.
Yeah, it was like all the other matches that they've had. There was a few cool moments, but...
I still want to see the Fatal 4-Way Mexican Standoff ladder match at WrestleMania if it happens.
Isn't Ray injured?
No.
Oh,
not that I know of, anyway.
I'm just crazy.
I think it was a kayfabe thing.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I want to see Rey, Andrade, Humberto, and Angel Garza.
There we go. That would be a really good match. Up next, the SmackDown Tag Team Elimination Chamber. Usos and New Day started off the match. I'll just list off. Lucha House Party came in after, followed by Miz and Morrison, the Heavy Machinery, and then Rudolph, the Red-Nosed Reindeer wrestler.
Mm-hmm. I wanted Mandy to be involved in this somehow.
Yeah, honestly, like, I was not satisfied with that exchange between... I wanted Otis to just, like, destroy Dolph.
That's probably going to be a Mania thing.
I guess. They probably had, like, a match on the pre-show, mm-hmm. I suppose.
No, it might be a main Mania thing where, like, Otis gets the girl. I think Vince is into this. It seems like it.
That'd be interesting.
I mean, it's kind of another cucking angle, so...
Yeah, he does love those angles.
But, you know, Otis has an extended contract, whereas Rusev didn't resign.
We won't give him his wife back till he resigns.
All right. So, quick rundown of the eliminations. After, like, a ridiculous, I think it was a moonsault from the very top of the cage, Lincero, when he climbed all the way up.
Oh, yeah.
It, great camera work. Like, because you didn't really see it until then. But, so that was awesome. They got their spot in, and then they were quickly eliminated after that.
Oh, no. That was not a moonsault. First it was...
It was a shooting star press, wasn't it?
Yes. Grand Metalik did a Hurricanrana off of one of the cells, and then I think it was Lince Dorado crawled up to the top and then did a shooting star.
Yeah.
Like, above the top of the pod, though. Like, he was in upper cage territory.
Yeah, he was, like, above the ring. It was terrifying.
And then, then he was eliminated.
Yes. And then I think after that, Otis charged at, or ended up, like, charging at Ziggler. Ziggler moved out of the way, and then he, like, barreled through the chamber and ended up on the outside. And then the only thing that Tucker could do was go, "Buddy, you okay? Get up, buddy. You okay?" From, like, 50 feet away. And then...
yeah, because he can't get out of the chamber. He'll lose.
Yep. And then he goes for vengeance, but alas.
He was doing okay for a bit.
Mm-hmm. After that, we had a double splash on the chambers by the Usos onto Rudolph to get them out of the picture.
It was pretty satisfying.
Yeah. There was a sweet double team. Like, I can't remember if it was a double team spot, but there's basically a big collision with all the Usos in the New Day, and Miz and Morrison came in and took advantage to eliminate the New Day.
Yeah, they just kind of like crawl out of nowhere like cockroaches for a double pin. It was great.
Yep. And then, unfortunately, the Usos lost, and that would have been my crushing victory. Not crushing. That would have been just my victory.
But Morrison can slow down time. Like, how can you bet against him?
That's true. I did like that that weird, like, figure four. What's Morrison's finisher?
Starship Pain.
Yeah. Like, Miz had him.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty neat, but... but yeah, so then Miz and Morrison retain going into WrestleMania, which may or may not happen. We don't know. This match,
Aleister Black versus AJ Styles.
Yeah, so it was good.
Aleister Black won, the right result.
Yes.
We've now seen two choke slams from The Undertaker.
Yes.
Which both of them did not...
no.
...seem like particularly well-placed choke slams.
AJ went... what in his words, he overbrothered a little bit with the choke slam. He definitely got his shoulder up a little bit too high trying to like get that cell going. But like halfway through the, like, honestly, it was funny because like we're sitting there watching this match and Anderson and Gallus are on the outside not doing anything the entire time until it was time for Taker to show up.
Well, no, because if they would have done something, they knew if they would have done something, then Taker would have showed up when they're finally like, okay, we need to interfere now. Taker showed up.
Is that what just the like narrative was? What would happen.
I'm going to go with that's what the narrative was because it makes it a little easier to swallow.
Yeah.
Just a spoonful of sugar.
That's liquor is what they're talking about.
Yes. Yes, they are.
So the lights go out. Lights come back up, and both Anderson and Gallus are being choked by Undertaker, who's looking pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then AJ tries to stop him. He gets choke slammed. Aleister takes advantage and wins the match. Which, I mean, I wish it didn't take Taker to beat AJ, or it didn't take Taker showing up to have Aleister beat AJ.
No, I think Black would have had it until Gallus and Anderson interfered.
But, yeah, so then afterwards, we had Street Profits defending against Rollins and Murphy.
Defeating against Rollins and Murphy, too.
Yes, that is exactly right. That's when they retained, right? Or they were already champs going in?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because they won, Raw,
the exact same thing as last time happened. Kevin Owens came in, stunner, they take advantage.
Yeah.
With that beautiful frog splash.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens threw popcorn at Murphy and Seth.
He did. It was great.
It was great. But then, yeah, so that happened, and that's the end of that match. Up next, I don't know if I agree with how this went down, but it was a 3-on-1 handicap match for the IC title, Braun Strowman versus Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Cesaro.
And Sami Zayn won.
Yeah.
He is your new Intercontinental title, which I'm glad that he's finally got a singles main roster title because he hasn't held one since the NXT title.
I like the the boat of confidence that he had where he's like, I'll take this out, guys. Don't worry. And then like right as he gets in the match, he
tags Cesaro.
Poor Braun. It's so weird that we always make fun of Vince for being into like these big guys. And here's this big guy that everyone loves, but he's just not into him.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
Just like, he's not a main event player. Let's bury him.
Yeah, might as well.
See, I told you.
Like, well, that's why he's not a main event player,
right?
Vince.
So then, yeah, the end of the night, we had our women's Elimination Chamber match. And this, I feel like, could have been a good match if there wasn't just so much waiting.
It wasn't until Shayna got in there that, like, I get she's got to look dominant, but they could have, you know, timed it out a little bit better, you know, showed Shayna just, like, blatantly playing with her opponents.
Yeah, because basically once...
And then, you know, they get a surprise flurry for, like, a minute and a half, and then she just, like, gets pissed off, beats him down, and then, you know, there's 30 seconds of waiting.
Yeah. So once Shayna got into the match, that was it. I mean, basically everything she did to the first, who was Natalya.
Unless you're Asuka.
Yeah, unless you're Asuka. But it was, like, Natalya, Sarah Logan, and... Who else? Who's the third person?
Ruby Riott.
Yes. All three of them.
Ruby Riott actually got a couple moves in.
Yes. Like, she did.
Like two more than everyone else who got none.
And then it was just knee to the face.
Except Liv Morgan.
Yeah. It's just like knee to the face, fancy whatever slam move she does, and then choke. Or no. Slam move.
Shoulder troll slam move.
Knee to the face, choke out. And then wait for a minute and a half.
Yeah, it was longer in some cases.
That's
like 5 minutes per door
when
there.
When she slammed Liv Morgan's head into the cave, though?
That did look...
Oh, man. I mean, granted, it's just plastic, so that probably didn't hurt as much as it seemed like it did, but that
but
seemed
it looked
like...
brutal.
Yeah, her head bounced off that thing. But yeah, Shayna won, and we all knew that was going to happen. Yes. It just happened in a weird way.
A little bit.
So... going into WrestleMania, we will have Becky versus Shayna, which will be exciting if it happens.
I honestly hope Becky just gets too cocky and she's beaten like 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's what they're setting up for her.
Mm-hmm.
Just as long as there's no more neck biting.
Yeah, that's always a little weird.
I'm not okay with that.
Although, props to Asuka during all this, during the contract signing, her just bite me.
Yeah.
And then her just yelling at her in the cage. It's hilarious.
I wish I
have no idea what she's saying, but I'm not sure why I enjoy this.
She was
too
repeating
much.
The same thing over and over, so I just assumed that she was just swearing a lot.
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
So yeah, that was the Elimination Chamber. Really quickly, before we move on to, I almost said Deadshot. Bloodshot. Deadshot's another character, though.
Yes.
We'll run
through... Don't forget Longshot, too.
That's true. We'll run through the AEW NXT real quick. Starting with AEW, it was a good show. It wasn't as good as last week and probably won't be as good as 2 weeks ago. Overall, I think it's just hyping up the, what's it called? What is the name of that cage match that's not War Games?
Blood and Guts.
Yes.
Not War Games at all.
Not War Games. Definitely not War Games.
Yep, not at all.
No. War Games, no.
I think they might be putting a top on it, whereas War Games cage is open. So, you know, then there's that.
Okay. So, yeah, this show felt a little bit more like what's the word? It felt a lot like last week, but I think it's also because it ended with like a big brawl between the Elite and the Inner Circle.
But Jericho's a cowboy.
He is a cowboy. That was really funny. Just really quick, we had Cody versus Ortiz. Within literally minutes of the match starting, Jake the Snake comes out with Lance Archer, who is his mercenary, which is everyone
his
was
client.
Like
client.
Yeah. It was a very strange, like, he just kind of walked in from the side, but the crowd was chanting, holy shit, so you knew, like, he got a big pop, so that should be interesting.
He should.
There's DDT. a lot of Healy tactics, because Santana was obviously there. At one point, Lance almost jumped the barricade, but Jake kind of convinced him otherwise, and they ended up leaving. But Cody wins the match with a figure four leg lock. Yeah, he went for the crossroads, and then I think Ortiz kicked out at two, and then he put him in the figure four. Afterwards, Santana started attacking. Arn came in, followed by Kenny Omega and Nick Jansen, which is weird because Kenny had a broken hand, and Arn seemed to already had the. That's why he's not That's why he wasn't participating in the tag match later.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, he's supposed to have like a broken hand or a broken finger. So
when did he get a broken hand?
I think it was last week.
I could see it, but all right.
But yeah, up next we had Nyla Rose and Bree Priestley defeating Chris Stratlander and Hikaru why can't I say these names properly? It's like it's
because you're racist against Asians.
No, that's not what.
Hikaru Shida?
Yes. It's like I put too much emphasis on the I, and then my brain just like
Hikaru Shida.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah. So it was a pretty solid match. And I obviously gets the win with the Beast Bomb, but afterwards, it was really heated between her and Shida because Shida was the number one spot on the women's. But then after the match, like Brie attacks Nyla and then like stood on her with a belt. So now she's going after it. But I don't know if she's up in the ranks. But
always assume everyone's going after it.
Yeah, that's very true. After that, we had MJF and the Butcher and the Blade versus Jurassic Express. I love watching the Jurassic Express. They're so much fun. Jungle Boy.
And they're pulling double duty. They're on Dark, too.
Mm-hmm. Jungle Boy, normally it's Luchasaurus is the one getting the hot tag. Jungle Boy got the hot tag in this one. There was a point I loved where Marco Stunt was just like stomping on MJF in the corner and the crowd was going nuts because MJF's a dick. And then Aubrey like pulled him away and was like, you can't do that. And he's like, okay, I'm sorry. And then Steve Spire goes back, does it again. Jungle Boy had to come out and do it. But through sneaky heel tactics, because there was just nonstop distractions from the Bunny and Wardlow, Marco gets pinned at the end and the heels win.
Marco gets pinned a lot.
Yeah, he's kind of like, that's kind of what it is there for, I suppose.
Hey, Jungle Boy went the distance with Chris Jericho. I mean, he lasted 10 minutes, but...
That's very true. After that, we had an interview at the top of the ramp with Britt Baker, and Big Swole came out to basically talk shit.
I remember this.
This line is amazing because Britt was like the only person in your house that cares about wrestling as much as you as your boyfriend, who is Cedric Alexander.
Uh-huh.
And then Big Swole is like, I'm married, baby. The crowd's like, damn. So many shots. I thought that was really funny. And then they just start beating the shit out of each other.
Arguably, Adam Cole's a bigger star, though.
Yeah, but just because he's booked that way.
Yeah.
Cedric was on 205 for how long?
Trips booking.
Yeah.
Versus Vince booking.
Bingo. Up next, we had the debut of the Death Triangle, defeating Joey Janela in the Private Party. They just crushed him.
Waiting 40 ounces of vodka cranberry.
Yes. And then their finisher is also called Death Triangle, where it's like a three-man submission move. They put on the guys at the end of the match before the best friends came and broke it up.
How does that work?
I don't know. It was weird looking though, and it looked painful. I'm like I said before. I want them to have a three-man belt because they've been getting all these. Like it seems like that is. There's so many more three-man teams now with them. Jurassic Express. You can even do like the Young Bucks with Kenny and stuff like that if you really want to.
God, the Jurassic Express needed just the first run.
Oh yeah. They should definitely get it first, 100%.
Either that or a heel team gets first, and they're the ones that are chasing it the longest.
Yeah.
Like, get it to where they almost get it, like, three or four times, and that fourth time they get it, the crowd will go nuts.
Right. Up next, there was a pre-recorded backstage interview with Moxley, who was all banged up from the last week from getting just the shit kicked out of him. It was him being interviewed by Jim Ross. Basically, he just put Hager on call. On notice and was like, because he was the one that kind of like choked him out over the ropes, and then he told the Inner Circle to make sure they watch or keep their good eye open because during the Blood and Guts match, because he'll be there.
Nice.
So I see Moxley just ripping through the cage to go after them.
I can see that. I'd be okay with it, too.
And then, yeah, the final match of the night. We had Hangman and Dustin defeating Sammy Guevara and Chris Jericho in a nice tag match. Hangman was glad to have a mystery partner, but Dustin was all, like, angry because of the Inner Circle and was like, I'm your partner no matter what.
Okay.
Yeah, so there he was.
Not a bad partner to have.
No, not at all. Inner Circle had a lot of control at the beginning. Probably one of the funniest parts of the night was Jericho took the beer from the crowd. He was like, I'm a cowboy. And then Adam Page comes, knocks him out, and takes it from him.
Yeah, and drank it himself as a good heel show.
Right? There was this really cool, the finisher was really cool, and it did sort of, or the finish was really cool. It had this weird sort of Ambrose feel to it, where like, Hangman was on the outside. Jericho goes to throw him inside the ring, who he's not the legal man, and like Adam like rolls in, his feet bounce off the ropes, and then he rolls back out of the ring, and then like elbows Jericho in the head, like onto the guardrail.
It sounds pretty Ambrose-y.
Yeah, and then
I'd do it 9 times in a match.
I can't remember what Dustin's finisher was. Oh no, he did one of those like crazy Canadian destroyers because that he loves doing. Yeah. And like Sammy said, like it was like one of those like he hit it so well that Sammy bounced up on his feet and just in time for Hangman to hit him with the buckshot lariat for the win. And then afterwards, the Inner Circle beat the shit out of everyone. Like literally, it's like they get beat up and then.
Someone else comes out.
Kenny Omega comes out and he gets beat up. And Cody comes out and he gets beat up. And then they're dragging Hangman to the top of the ramp. And then Matt comes out and he, you know, kicks Jake Hager, flicks Hangman off. And then they get beat up with chairs and shit like that. And it's just like.
Yeah, Jericho.
Yeah, it's just Jericho standing in the Inner Circle, standing tall at the end of the night.
Le Champion.
Yep. So we have one more week of build up next week, and then the week after that, I believe the 27th. Wait, no, it's in 2 weeks.
I don't know dates.
Neither do I. And which I should. I know. So next Wednesday is the 18th because that's my birthday. And then I can't remember. I can't remember if it's on the 21st or the 28th, which would be the next ones.
It's one of those for sure.
Something like that. But anyway, like I said, it was good AEW. I feel like they're just kind of waiting for the real good shit until the week before Blood and Guts, because this was kind of like not the same, but more Inner Circle standing tall at the end, beating people up. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. Alrighty then, so Basham, how was NXT this week?
I think they still might be in a holding pattern. Some exciting things happened, but some things happened.
Yeah.
And then they ended with just a train wreck. It was great. We opened up with Lee versus Grimes. Lee was pretty dominant because, you know, he's Keith Lee and his voice is buttery, but he's dominant. Grimes has like a few scrappy moments, but in the end, Lee hits a big body splash, followed by a big bang catastrophe, 1, 2, 3, and he stands tall up until Damian Priest comes up from behind and hits him with a nightstick.
Ooh.
Yeah, Dominik Dijakovic actually comes off to kind of like chase him off, but Lee doesn't really know who hits him. All he sees is Dijakovic standing there with the title. Oh, so yeah, he just kind of like up and spirit bombs Lee. So I'm kind of hoping for a Dijakovic Priest Lee triple threat for the title at NXT Tampa.
It sounds like
assuming they have it.
Yeah, assuming they have it.
It would be great, you know, just another addition to the super heavyweight cruiserweight edition.
I feel like that would be. I think that would be a fitting ending because those three have been going at each other for a while, right?
Yes, but I don't think Priest has ever actually gotten a shot. I believe there was a triple threat for the number one contendership.
I gotcha.
Or no, I think that was a Fatal 4-Way, actually.
I think I remember that one. But yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah. Moving on, we have Mia Yim versus Dakota Kai with Raquel Gonzalez. They're fighting for another spot in the ladder match that's happening at Tampa TakeOver, possibly.
Possibly.
So Raquel Gonzalez is actually making her presence felt, but she does it kind of like one time's too many, because she kind of like breaks up a pin by Mia Yim by just like grabbing her foot and pulling. But the ref like kind of sees that something's going on, so he's arguing with her, and Dakota Kai goes for the most devastating move in all of wrestling, the surprise roll-up. Unfortunately, the ref is too busy, and he just doesn't see it, so Kai has to like break it up, and you know she grabs him like, yo, what the hell, what's going on? Oh, Kai also has the tights during this roll-up, so like the ref would have turned around and been like, what are you doing anyway?
Yeah, why are you holding the tights?
But, yeah, anyway, he turns around, or yeah, she kind of like grabs him, turns around like, hey, what's going on? You know? And Yim just kind of like gives her an eat defeat, 1, 2, 3. So yeah, Mia Yim joins Chelsea Greed in the ladder match at Temp Over. Possibly. All right. But then, of course, afterwards, because they're heels, Raquel Gonzalez has to come in, and she just gives her this, like, devastating-looking one-arm power bomb. It's...
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. I enjoyed it. Moving on. Raul Mendoza versus Kushida. It was pretty much fast-paced. It, like, just started at, you know, 60 miles per hour, and then just increased to 90 miles per hour. Eventually, Mendoza gets a enziguri on Kushida, who's just kind of like perched in the top rope, and then kind of climbs up. But Kushida kind of counters this into a cross arm breaker for the submission. It was good. Ticked all the boxes.
Yeah.
Fast paced, but I'm not sure what it's building to exactly. Maybe it's kind of like, all right, let's get Kushida hot and then maybe run him into some trouble because Alex Shelley's ready to come back and they can do the time splitters again.
Yes. Hopefully. I was pretty disappointed in how they've been booking Kushida so far.
I mean, they had to put him in holding pattern since it was like, all right, we're going to do the time splitters. No, week one injury.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
That's very true. That's very true.
Simmer down. So next we move to the land of promos because we have Tyler Breeze versus Austin Theory just kind of like going back and forth about like how, oh, yeah, some people are, you know, NXT's here to build talent, but it just doesn't work on the main roster. And then Austin Theory's, or I don't know. I think Austin Theory kind of won this one. Tyler Breeze has some sort of a comeback, but I look forward to the match.
Mm, Tyler Breeze. I'm glad he's, I'm glad he moved over to NXT.
Mm-hmm. He's assumed a Dolph Ziggler role, but he looks really good.
He was always been good, but they made him a comedy act, which is just an issue with some of those guys that have like personality. They just turn into comedy acts.
But Vince McMahon.
Yep.
Next up, we have a Ripley promo.
Right.
Which turns into a Charlotte promo, which she gives between chants of you don't go here and go back to Raw. The crowd is just laying into her. Eventually just kind of turns into like a brawl all out. I believe Ripley actually goes for the first strike. But of course, Charlotte gets the upper hand because Charlotte... She actually locks in the figure four around the ring post. It looks brutal. It's kind of going into like the underdog babyface going into WrestleMania with an injured knee, possibly.
Yeah, possibly. Not the knee. The WrestleMania.
Yeah. Moving on, we have a Finn promo on Walter. And it just kind of like ends with Finn holding up his passport saying like, oh, see you there. So he's probably going to be at TakeOver Dublin.
Yeah, and then they'll probably get landlocked out there for a bit.
It could be a good thing they have a nice long feud that they can build to then.
Yeah, that's true. That would be like, that would actually be really cool and get eyes on NXT UK if just for whatever reason, because like they're kind of closing off a lot of the flights out of Europe and all that whatnot. Like, just have Finn feud with Walter for a bit. That gets eyes on the product.
I kind of thought they were going to anyway.
They have, like, cool David versus Goliath, but they're both kind of heels sort of thing going on.
Well, I mean, Walter already sent Imperium to attack him, and Finn just said he'd see him, so I'm sure we'll see it at some point. Moving on, we have another Mia Yim promo, which turns into a Raul Mendoza abduction.
Oh, my.
By the Los Conquistadors. I don't know. Two dudes jumped out of an SUV during the Mia Yim promo in gold masks and just like got it.
What?
Yeah, like pulled Mendoza into the car. It was really bizarre.
And I see he's like, oh man, Lucha Underground is done. All right, let's get some stories going.
Mm-hmm. So next we have Tegan Nox versus Deonna Purrazzo. Deonna just kind of like works on Nox's shoulder. She's got it all like taped up heavily. And then it just seems like out of nowhere, Tegan Nox gets the shiniest wizard and ends it.
The shiniest wizard.
Yep, she joins Chelsea and Mia Yim in the ladder match that's going on at Tampover, possibly.
Possibly.
With the shiniest wizard out of nowhere. Yeah, it was really bizarre because like she was just kind of, Deonna was really like working her shoulder over most of the match, and then it was just kind of like, move, shiny wizard. Like, what? Just, okay, yay.
Like, this arm isn't working. I've grown tired of working the arm.
Yeah, I've grown tired of working the arm, and she beat me.
And she beat me.
And then we move into another promo. The Undisputed Era. Well, they're about to challenge the bros, and then the Velveteen Dream interrupts. Something about, like, you know, there's three other stars here, but I've got three eyes on only one of you. It's Adam Cole. He kind of says that, like, everything was a ruse to get Cole into the cage, which, that seems like a little bit of a stretch. I don't think at any point he's like, all right, I can lose the title, and then they can attack me and hurt my back so I can be out for a few weeks and then come back, and I'm going to pretend that I like Roddy's wife so I can incite the entire Undisputed Era and get Adam Cole alone in a cage match. Like, that seems a little bit of a stretch, but...
That sounds like a translation to, like, we want to move Adam Cole up, so let's get this belt off him somehow.
And give it to Dream.
Velveteen Dream's like, I'm tired of chasing after Ronnie's wife.
Kind of.
That was kind of weird.
But anyway, so they're all kind of like, well, let's just kick his ass, like, right now, because he's up on the balcony. They can come get him.
Yeah.
And he just, like, snaps his fingers. And the Broserweights music hits. It's the Broserweights versus the Undisputed Era. Which, you know, it's the same routine. Both teams look good. There's several near falls going in. Like, Kyle O'Reilly looked especially hot, but I don't know. He's probably my favorite out of the Undisputed Era.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I kind of thought that it was going to be, like, him turning on Cole for a little bit, or Roddy turning on Cole, or there's some sort of internal struggle.
Yeah.
Or whatever the team was in Dragon Gate, like, turning on both of them. But I still wanted to see one pay-per-view where it's Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish defending the title at the beginning, and then Adam Cole and Roderick Strong defending the tag titles at the end of the pay-per-view, because I just thought that that'd be interesting.
Yeah. Curious.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So, Cole and Strong actually kind of get thrown out via shenanigans, because the Broserweights and... Yeah, the Broserweights kind of, like, throw them into the ring, and while the ref's, like, arguing with Strong, I think it's Riddle, like, pretends that he got punched, and Adam Cole's just like, wait, what? And the ref's like, you, out! I saw what you did! So it's like, oh, pulling, like, a little Eddie Guerrero thing there.
That's funny.
But then the Grizzled Young Vets show up, and they kind of, like, clock the Broserweights. It actually almost cost them the title. And the match is... kind of overbooked, but, like, overbooked the right amount.
Yeah.
The ending comes when, I believe it's Bobby Fish, gets a big back body drop onto the Grizzled Young Vets. But that just kind of leaves Kyle O'Reilly in the middle of the ring for the bro to sleep.
Bum, bum, bum.
1, 2, 3. Bros awaits retain.
I'm glad they're holding on to those belts for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I love them as a tag team.
Yeah, they're...
Bro.
They're great. Just like, just the monotone nothingness of Pete Dunne versus like the bro stoner persona, yeah. Stoner persona of Matt Riddle is. It just works so well together. Like Al Snow and Steve Blackman.
I like how they're not shying away from his character too. Like the fact that
yeah. Oh, you're suspended from the UFC for weed? All right, your characters, you're permanently stoned now.
Yeah, the fact that his entrance music is essentially a Dr. Dre beat. Like, it's like
all an the Dr. Dre beats
of all of the beats, yeah.
But then we have our last promo for the night. When Ciampa calls Art Gargano. And Gargano just kind of, like, Skypes in. Unfortunately for him, he kind of like Skypes in from the training center or from the performance center where they are. Yeah, he's in the middle of talking and Ciampa just kind of like goes in back and finds him. And then they just destroy the performance center.
Was it one of those?
Like, Ciampa gets thrown through a window. I think Gargano, like, hucks a weight in his head at some point or vice versa. And it just, like, crashes through a mirror. They fight each other all around the arena, just tearing it apart.
In my head, I had, like, a funny reveal. Like, he's on Skype doing whatever, and Ciampa just kind of goes like this and sees his hand in the background of Johnny's video. But that would kind of ruin their very intense feud. So.
A little bit. This definitely turns into a blood feud because it ends in an air raid crash from the balcony.
Jesus.
Yeah, like, through the announce table. Like, Ciampa just kind of grabs Gargano and, like, throws him off. And that's how we end NXT, with an air raid crash off the balcony.
Okay.
Like, the balcony got a lot of play this week. Yeah, and then Regal comes out, and he's looking pissed off. So, we'll see what happens next week. I'm assuming there'll be some crazy stipulation for Ciampa. Possibly.
Possibly. We don't know yet. I'm pretty excited for... Takeover Tampa, if it happens.
Possibly.
I feel like at least... Do you think, before we get off wrestling, do you think if they do end up canceling in Tampa, they would either broadcast it somewhere else, like from the Performance Center? Because I know they talked about doing stuff like that. Or would they just relocate to a different city?
I think they may want to relocate... Just WrestleMania seems a little too big to put in the Performance Center, but, like, you know, where are you going to go? Everywhere is shutting down.
Yeah, and, like, that's a lot to be like, oh, let's, I guess we're having it in New York this year, so, you know, we got 2 weeks, let's get everything. All right,
guys, let's move.
There. Yeah. Ugh. Strange times we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because Vin Diesel is now two superheroes.
That's true.
Yeah. Through the power of podcast magic, at some point during this podcast, we went and saw Bloodshot.
Yes.
We were talking the whole time. Everybody hated it.
Yep. No break.
But we told them, we're like, we're recording a podcast. We had to edit that out because reasons. But first impression. What did you think of the movie before we talk about, like, plot details?
I don't actually want to go into the movie. I want to go into other movies that use the nanobyte technology.
Oh, you just don't want to talk about the movie at all?
Nope, not at all. I don't know. I think their use of the nanobytes was definitely interesting and probably one of the more powerful ones because we kind of saw it in G.I. Joe where it was like a weaponized nanite bomb where it ate the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
Which was kind of interesting. I mean, we've seen it in all the Terminator movies because it's kind of like how the TX and the T-1000 like stick together and control each other. It's nanobyte or nanotechnology kind of controlling the polymer metal.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the T-3000 in Terminator Genesis, which John Connor is the only surviving human, I guess you can call him, to ever make it through that.
Is that the...
I'd say that's probably the closest we ever get to the actual, like, Bloodshot nanobytes in outside movies besides this one. Although they are actually in Star Trek, too. First when Wesley Crusher uses medical nanites as a science project and they kind of, like, take over the ship.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, Picard negotiates his way out of it because Picard.
He's Picard.
Yeah. And then that's actually what the Borg use. Well, they use nanoprobes to assimilate people into the collective, but, you know, kind of the same thing. Let's actually move on to Big Hero 6 is another place where we see him. It's kind of the like invention that Hero uses to get into school and the whole thing that like the technology they're after the bad guys after.
Can't remember the little I love Big Hero 6. I love that when they were when he was demonstrating it, it almost looked like it's like a kid's toy that you can play with that's like it utilizes magnets and you can kind of like pull them up and like make the shapes out of like the like tiny pieces of metal.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I don't know what they're called.
Yeah, that's what when like that the nanotech quote unquote, the way that they used it and portrayed it, that's what it reminded me in Big Hero 6. are just like mm-hmm. the toys you can put your hand in and shit. But I feel like they used they used the nanites in most of these were. I feel like they used a lot of them in all these movies for more of a destructive purposes. They didn't feel. I feel like they didn't do that for. I mean, in Bloodshot, he was stronger.
Well, yeah, the Big Hero 6 microbots were kind of for good.
They were only micro. They weren't nano.
But if you want to move to the, MCU, then you have Black Panther, Iron Man, Iron Spider, all using nanite technology. Mm-hmm. And then in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Rocket Raccoon actually used a nanobite welder to reconstruct the ship. Which was a pretty cool scene, just seeing him kind of like scan it and just reappearing. I was like, wait, what?
Wait, you said Iron Man 2 or Guardians 2?
Guardians 2.
Okay, yeah, I know.
Yeah, when the rest of the crew goes off with Eagle and Rocket stays there to repair the ship.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, they definitely. I feel like Marvel was just like, once they introduced the term nanotechnology, they're like, we'll just put it on everything. Just everybody gets some nanites now.
Yeah, but nano's been around forever. Like, Bloodshot came out in 92.
Yeah. It's weird that when we were looking through this, we couldn't find any, like, heroes or villains that. Like, that's their main kind of. I feel like. Like Bloodshot, like he, like the way that his is used is it wasn't like an external thing. It was him. That was the one thing that I couldn't find. Cause when we were looking up, like we had so many different Iron Man suits and like you said, like the Big Hero 6 or like the exoskeleton from all this other stuff, but it's all like external. It's not enhancing the person's actual physical body. Except maybe the Terminator,
but yeah, they're already robots. The Terminators.
They're already robots. So I don't think that counts.
Yeah, and the Borg.
Well, yeah, that's true. But yeah, man. Nanites are the way of the future.
Yeah, supposedly. I mean, we can go with Jason X, too, but they just kind of, like, repair him and make him that way. They're not actually in him.
Jason X, too. No, no.
Jason X as well.
Okay, that's the one where they're in space, right?
Yes.
Is that...
Yes, he gets shot, but then he falls on the like nanite medical bay thing, and it searches for additional parts, which happen to be metal, and it turns him into like a half robot, Jason.
You know, people always mock Halloween H2O for that Busta Rhymes moment, but like
that's Resurrection.
I'm sorry, but the Jason series sound is far more ridiculous than that shit.
He's been brought back by electricity twice. At least they always just kind of like remade it to where Michael never actually died.
Yeah, that's true. Like, oh, it was this guy this time.
So it's like, oh, you found the bodies? Yep, all the bodies. Okay, and then it's like, yeah, just two bodies. Like,
just wait two a minute. Bodies? We need confirmation, damn it. Have you seen these movies? So yeah, did you want to talk about the movie?
Nope.
Not at all?
Nope.
All right.
Okay. It was brought up by Valiant Comics.
Huh?
I'll talk about the comic. First started with Valiant Comics. I think DC might have owned them for a while, but I'm not 100% sure.
I really don't know much about the company.
Yeah, me either. I just know that Project Rising Spirit was the original thing. It was kind of like their super soldier serum, but they used, you know, nanites instead of a super soldier serum.
Yeah. I guess that would make... You can't say super soldier serum without getting sued if you're a comic book, so.
You could say Russian super soldier serum, though, and then you get the Red Guardian. I think this is kind of the Asian one, though.
Is that still Marvel?
Yes.
I mean, like, outside of Marvel.
You probably can, in some aspect. Maybe not in that order.
Yeah. Like soldier serum, super serum, yes, but not super soldier serum.
Yes, this is our super serum for soldiers.
Exactly. That is totally fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm kind of disappointed we didn't get to see his shape-shifting abilities in this, though.
Bloodshot?
Yeah, because the nanites kind of give him a shape-shifting ability in the comic that we didn't get, really. It was just kind of like a reconstruct and overheat. He's essentially Wolverine without adamantium.
And I couldn't really tell, like, they kind of... Just okay. So you don't want to talk about the movie. I'm guessing you don't like it. I'll just say it's I kind of enjoyed it, but it's probably could have gone a lot better if they didn't give everything away in the trailers. With that being said, the one part in the trailer where you see him as like kind of looking like what Bloodshot actually looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was like, was that nanites or was that like just from all of the explosions and falling off a building, like being covered in like gray and stuff like that?
Probably a little of both. But yeah, I don't know either.
Because I'm assuming, I mean, I don't think it's, I don't know how the box office for this one is going to be for it to merit getting another one. But they was like no backstory with his character in general. So they, if they do a sequel, they could probably fuck with a little bit more stuff like that. But yeah, I think that might have I went watching the movie made me feel like it was like another one of those things where I think the studio thinks we're dumb, so that's why they gave away a lot of the stuff in the trailer. So
then we explained it in a long
fashion. Then being like, oh, and he can also like transmodify his body into something different or like grow or do stuff like that.
Mm.
That'd be two out of left field. They didn't have enough trailer space for that.
Yeah, maybe.
The effects were cool. And that's the one thing I guess you do kind of see it very subtly in Endgame when he's fighting, or Infinity War too. Like the nanite, his suit like slowly like breaking off, and then like pieces of the nanites moving from one part of his body to cover another. Mm-hmm. They kind of did something like that in this,
sort of, but it kind of got crossed between Venom a little bit.
Yeah, it was very. There was a lot of particle effects, and there were a lot of times where it looked cool. Like I really like the one scene when he got like the shotgun to the face. And the guy's talking, but like his ears ringing because he just got a shotgun to the face.
Yeah.
You see it slowly forming together. Like that was cool. I feel like if the effects were just like slightly less PlayStation 4 cinematic, like in the bright scenes, like that cool thing at the end where like he actually got shot and then they see like the explosion and everything coming back together. Mm. Like that looked cool, but it also because of just it's daytime and you're clearly didn't put enough budget into the CGI for a lot of it. Some of it looked a little hokey.
A little bit. I don't know. It was an interesting concept. I just thought there was more they could have done with it. It just seemed very basic.
Oh yeah. It was definitely a very like basic setup.
Like, basic, yeah, like, premise. All right guys, do you like this?
And he wasn't
do
even,
another.
I love how nonchalant Vin Diesel was about him, like, oh, I'm dead?
Yeah, you died. He's like, oh, well, okay.
I'm going to go lay down.
Well, lay down and wake up from this. And then it was just kind of like a, hey.
And then he's fine with it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, I got to kill this guy now.
I would say there's some pretty inventive, like, just the fact that he can just take all these hits. I love when he picked the guy up and pulled a grenade on his chest.
See, kind of, sort of, but I didn't like the fact that there was no him testing his powers out. It was just kind of like a, oh, hey, I cut my hand, I can recover. All right, now I'm going to go take grenade blasts.
I got you. Yeah, yeah, that's like, very
wait
true.
Wait a minute, you don't know you can do any of this.
I will say, I think a lot of that movie could have benefited from being rated R, too.
Yeah, probably.
There was a lot of scenes where I'm like, ooh, that's going to be gruesome, and then, like, nothing happens. Like, I'm pretty sure that there are multiple grenades underneath guys or grenades blowing up in guys' faces.
And yeah.
Like, this should be way more damaging than it actually is.
Yeah, he pulls the guy's pin and then, like, shoves him up against the car door window.
Mm-hmm. Do we know that the Bloodshot comic's still going?
I do not.
I can't remember if Valiant is even, like, a company still. I'm assuming it is, considering they made this movie and it's, like...
Valiant Entertainment.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you could tell Vin Diesel wants to play a superhero that isn't Groot. I would say he hammed it up a little bit in this.
Yeah, a little bit.
Although he did look like, it didn't help that first scene where he like takes his shirt off and you're like, oh my God, you're Dom from Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Because he's just wearing a white wife beater.
It's like, there's the white tank top look that we all know and love.
Yeah, exactly. Don't call me Tom. Yeah, I think if I don't, like I said, I don't think it's going to make enough money for it to merit a sequel, maybe. But if Valiant Comics wants to throw their hat into making some sort of universe, that's not a bad start, I suppose.
Yeah.
Considering that, like, not a lot of people know their, like, comics. Thing? Yeah. They're not, yeah, it's like, because you got the, with between Marvel and DC, everything underneath is, like, not a lot of people know about.
Except Spawn.
Well, Spawn is owned, is he owned by
Spawn's independently owned.
Oh, yeah, well, Todd McFarlane. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's, I feel like Spawn's the only good thing that came out of Image Comics aside from, like, Angel. Or Angela? Angela? No. She's in Marvel Universe now.
No, of course.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, yeah. It's a movie. It was decent. Mm-hmm. Once again, I was like, my biggest problem with it was they showed everything in the trailer. Like the first 30 minutes seemed like if I, granted, I probably would have looked up his backstory, and I'm sure they would have kind of mentioned something like that.
Yeah.
But that movie would have benefited from not saying anything about it. Because the first 30 minutes, you're like, is the movie, like, done? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, like, we know all this. But yeah, they definitely had a couple moments for some surprise twists for people that didn't know anything about the comics.
Yeah, and they just, it's kind of...
It's like, nah, it's in the trailer.
I will say, I like the fact... I can't remember the guy's name. The guy that played Wilkins. He was in New Girls.
Oh, Wiggins?
Wiggins. Did I say Wilkins?
Wilkins, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know.
He also seemed like a very handy plot device. Like, oh, we already have this better hacker.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden your system, all your base are belong to us.
Right. And then I didn't know that guy was British. Or he has a really good British accent. But normally it's reversed. You know, like I've seen him on 6 seasons of New Girls, no British accent at all.
Well, Dr. House has a British accent in real life. Oh, sorry, Dr. House has an English accent. Hugh Laurie has
a British accent. That's what I was curious about, because I'm like, usually the American doesn't do the British accent. It's the British person that does the American accent.
Oh, okay, Carl Urban.
Yeah, Carl Urban.
Yeah, he plays Billy Butcher pretty well.
Yeah, that's true. Do you have anything else about nanites that you want to talk about?
Nah.
It was weird looking that up because, like, start researching it because it just led me to, like, actual medical things, which is cool.
But some of it.
But I'm like, this is not what I'm looking for.
Then I saw some things that's like, you'll be able to control your house. I'm like, nope, leave it.
Yeah, that I don't want. But, like, stuff like the healing aspect of it is very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me this was just kind of like a sci-fi Memento, but it lacked the, I don't know, I guess the plot depth of Memento.
Yeah.
Because it was just kind of like a, oh, okay, well, you had your memory wiped. All right. Whereas Memento's just like, oh, you can't create memories, so I'm going to use you to kill all these random people. Because he's like, there's been 5 John Qs.
And, you know, what's that guy with the legs? I just wrote it down.
Dalton?
That guy with the legs. Yes. Yeah. Yes, Dalton. Like, even him, like, after his first little mission, and then, like, he kind of, like, rigs him up. He's like, oh, we got to charge the nanites, blah, blah, blah. Like, it was just, like, he turned into such a dick so quickly with absolutely no motivation.
Yeah.
I think that hindered the plot even more. Because you're like, why does this guy hate this dude so much?
Because you needed a reason to hate that guy.
I guess. I just, yeah. They're,
yeah, the blind guy that can see better than all of us was the one that I was actually like, why is he doing this? Like, it.
Yeah, he seems like out of place. A noble person. But yeah, I think that's another thing where it's like, that could have made the movie better. Mm-hmm. If you had a little bit more depth from the villain as opposed to, I'm a dick. But even though technically, what's his name, was like the villain, but everybody knows that.
Oh, yeah, the doctor.
Yeah, like, look at the actor playing him.
Yeah, it's Guy Pearce.
I'm the Mandarin! And then I turned off the movie. We're talking about Iron Man 3 again.
Yeah, no, we're not.
Fuck! Not. So yeah, I guess that's the pod for today.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. So next week, we will find out if there's WrestleMania or anything, really. We'll be here, though. Yes. Coronavirus be damned.
I need to stock up on Corona or separate my Guinness from my Corona.
Separate my Guinness from my Corona. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Don't want no Guinness turning into Coronas.
Oh, the Guinness virus?
No, vice versa. The Guinness are turning into Coronas.
Oh, so they're losing their milk?
I don't know.
I don't
Guinness know. Milk? What the? All right, from House of Pod.
I don't drink, as you can tell.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, we will be back with you guys next week. As always, listen. Hit us up at House of Pod 1 on the social medias. If you saw the Bloodshot movie, let me know what you thought. Basham didn't want to talk about it, so I'm guessing he didn't care for it too much.
It was just a movie.
It was just a movie, yeah.
You know when you fill out those surveys and you have that one that's like exactly in the middle? That's where I'd check this.
Gotcha. Okay. So you didn't like it, but you didn't dislike it?
Yeah, it's like the technology was good, the graphics were good, the plot was lacking, the action was good, the plot was lacking.
You can hear Vin Diesel. I was just happy to hear Vin Diesel talk for the first time. I've seen him in so many Fast and Furious movies, haven't understood a goddamn word.
He did have more emotion than usual.
Yeah, he yelled, which was weird.
No, that one's not too weird.
I haven't seen him yell in a while.
He yells in all the Fast and the Furiouses.
Yeah, I guess maybe. I don't count when they're driving, because they're driving, and they're trying to be realistic when they're jumping from building to building.
Yeah, going through walls.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. For House of Pod, I am Mike.
I'm Bash.
Good night, though.